This morning, I would like for us to look at how we... Jesus has come from the New Testament. We're still anticipating Christmas. Still looking forward to it, but there's a lot of signs. And I'd like you to open your Bible to, if you would, Matthew, there you'll be ready. I'm going to start off with a different verse, 1 John. That little bitty book in the back has so much to say about God. It tells us so much about his love for us and different things. And in 1 John 5:20, there is a verse that I want to read to you. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's how we know he came. That's how we know. He's living in our heart through the Holy Spirit. And that's one way for sure that we know. You know, when, and many of you probably were this way. When I was a little boy, I didn't know anything about Jesus. Now, I grew up in Detroit, and that's not necessarily a Jesus town. But because I never heard his name unless it was profanely. That was the only way I knew Jesus' name. I thought that using his name was a form of profanity. And now I love to use it every day, several times a day, because it means so much. Many Christians think that the mention of hell is profane, and they are uncomfortable with the word. And neither word is profane, Jesus or hell, because they're used in the Bible. And Jesus would never, ever be profane. And he used the word several times in his preaching and teaching, and as he warned people that there was such a place. And he came to prevent them from having to go to that place. So why did I think that the name of Jesus was profane as a little boy? I thought that because the only way that I ever heard the name used was profanely. I never heard Santa Claus's name used profanely. Have you? I thought that because the only way that his name was ever used, that it was profane. And because Santa Claus is not real and many people are angry with God, they've never known Jesus as a source of love. And this time of year is a particular time of love and a peculiar kind of love that basically only Christians really know. Christmas is a time of love. As a little boy, my focus was on Christmas and Santa and what he was going to bring me. Isn't it interesting that Santa wants us to buy something and Jesus wants to give us something? Big difference. Big difference. Santa's stuff will wear out. Jesus, what Jesus wants to give us will be eternal. Big difference between the world and the church. So I want us this morning to take some time to look at various portions of Scripture that establish the fact that Jesus has come and why he came. These will be confirmations of a type that we ought to be telling the world about. We're going to look at some of the things that happened as a result of Jesus Christ taking on human form and in obedience to what God wanted him to do. Now, this all started before the world existed. God made up his mind before he ever
created the first thing, that Jesus Christ was going to have to take on human form. He was going to have to show us the love of God. And that he was going to have to live like one of us so that we could see an example of what God wanted us, what it could be like. So the place I'd like to turn is Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. And let's read that passage. You know, the thing about Christmas is most of it is scriptural. And that's where we have to stay, folks. We have to stay where it's scriptural, where the scripture is proclaiming the things that God wants us to know. And Matthew 1, 18 through 25 starts off this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I think I heard something in Sunday school this morning about angels. Boy, God uses it. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Nothing profane about that name. This passage from the first gospel explains why Mary was not stoned as the law required, because she had a husband who loved her, and he did not want her made a public example of. So let's look at more detail about the birth of the Savior. Matthew 2, 1 through 6. Matthew 2, 1 through 6. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Anybody can tell me who that prophet was? Who's coming on Wednesday night? Micah, yes, Micah was the one. Okay. All right. When he arose, he took... Okay, I lost my place here. 15. And okay, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. All the prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled in him, in his coming. So as we are reading the Bible to learn about Jesus and what he might want from us, We don't always recognize that we're reading an extension of the Christmas story. So much of the New Testament is such. The story of the birth of Jesus affects the whole world, and yet the world doesn't know. They don't know who he is. They don't know him. John 1, 10 through 14 tells us he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As I'm reading these passages, I know they are familiar to you. I know that. You may have more Bible up here than you think you do. But these passages are important to us because these are passages about our Savior. And they are confirmation as to who he is. There's so many different explanations about how God manipulated the circumstances to bring about the exact situation to fulfill his word or his will for the birth of his son. Think about the Christmas carols that we sing this time of year. They're telling the story of the ages. I heard Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby sing Christmas carols together. And they lived like they never knew the Savior. How many of you saw that? That was a program from way back in the late 40s. Yep. Did you think about the fact that they didn't know Jesus? Beautiful voices, beautiful carols, praising him, lauding him. And yet, they died without him. So it's not what we do, folks. It's what we are. Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, Tim referred to what a manger was this morning in his Sunday school class. But I don't know if Tim's ever really seen a real manger that the cattle have drooled in. And all the other things that go along with it. But what a place for the King of the universe to be born. If God can manipulate everything necessary to fulfill the prophecy about his son, do you think that he can take care of your situation? You think he can? I think he can. Yep. If we learn anything from just reading about the birth of an early life of Jesus, we should learn that God is able to move mountains and control circumstance. Why should we worry about anything that he chooses to take us through? The deepest valley are sometimes the most blessed. As we rely upon God because we have no one else that we can see or sense nearby. And so why should we worry about anything? And the word, though, is a key word in this case. God is not going to leave you in the middle of a mess that he has permitted us to go through for a learning experience. God is not going to leave any of us in a mess that he has chosen to take us through. He has something for you to do. And he is taking you through everything you go through in life in order that you might be able to reach out to someone and share with them your experience, that they might be encouraged and that they might have some hope, because they can see you're still with us and he has used you to bring you through. Romans 8, 3 through 5. Romans 8, 3 through 5. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, now in the likeness of sinful flesh, he was not sinful. He took on our image, even though we were made in his. So God took on the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Before you and I were made, God knew what it was going to take for us to be able to serve and obey him. And what it took was Jesus. Gets even better the more that we read about Jesus. Galatians 4, 4 through 6 tells us, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we, you and I, might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath set forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Daddy. Can you think of any better Christmas present to give a person than the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that make an extra special Christmas to be saved at Christmas time? Now, here's the something that you may not have connected with Christmas, but it is connected. Ephesians 2, 7 through 10. Ephesians 2, 7 through 10. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindnesses toward us through Christ Jesus. God has been kind to us in so many different ways by giving us Jesus Christ. Can you remember before you had him or before he had you? I can. It was awful. There was no hope. There was nothing. Just wickedness, just turmoil. And God through him had reached out to us. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Why were you born? You ever wonder, why? Why was I ever born? You were born to walk in good works for God. He knew you before you were born. While you were just a soul, he knew you. And then he gave a spirit to a child, and that was you. And he had a purpose for you before you were ever born. And you still have a purpose, no matter who you are, how old you are, what you are. God has a purpose for you. And this time, as we celebrate, this time of year, as we remember, this is not the time of year Jesus was born. He was probably born in the spring. But what does that matter? We're not celebrating the day that he was born. When you may have sung happy birthday to me, but we don't know what day to sing happy birthday to Jesus. Every day is for him. And before you were born, he had a purpose for you. And do you realize how important that is? Do you realize how great that is? You are not by yourself. You are not living for no purpose. God has given you something to do, something to accomplish while you have life. And Jesus was born in the fullness of time, when time was perfect. Rome was the ruler of the world. Language was Greek, very precise. There were roads. There were all kinds of things that they had that they could get around, get from one country to another country, one place to another place. What a perfect time for men to be telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came and he lived in that time. And think of what God did to bring him to this earth at that time. It had to be the time that they could communicate, and it was. Had to be the time that they could travel, and it was. Had to be the time when they used the cross for crucifixion to put a man to death, and it was. It was not an accident that he was born at that time. Think of that. Cyrus had to order the people to come and be taxed in their towns of their birth of their family, and that brought him to Bethlehem. And Micah tells us that Bethlehem is where he would be born, and he was. So much. Why do we doubt? Why should anybody doubt anywhere in the world? We have a lot to tell the world about. Christmas is looking so different than when I was a little boy. You think that you could make a difference in the way that a little child might look at Christmas? I think it's important that we do. Is it wrong to tell a child that there's Jesus Christ instead of Santa Claus? I don't know. That's a bridge you're going to have to cross at some point when you become a grandparent and a parent. Titus 2, 11 through 15 tells us, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I hope this morning that you are a very peculiar person. I really mean that. Peculiar enough that people look at you a little strangely. And they wonder what it is that makes you peculiar. And I'll tell you this morning, it's Jesus Christ. That's what he's there for. As we anticipate the Christmas season, we must expect to have many opportunities to share Jesus as Savior, the Savior of men who are willing to believe and to believe that Jesus was crucified. He is not just a little baby in the manger. He is a Savior of the world. He died for every single sin in the world. And there is no one who cannot be saved if they believe. And that's what the Bible tells us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There are a lot of people around all of us that we can talk to this morning about Jesus Christ. That I'd like to share one more verse. Well, it's four verses, actually. 1 John 1, 1 through 4. We started off with 1 John 1, 5. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. And I hope this morning that you are full of joy. I hope that as you sing Christmas carols and as you think of Jesus coming to cover your sins with his blood, I hope that that fills your heart with joy as he becomes a part of your life. I'd like this Christmas, what we did for the last several years where our boys were at home, is Christmas Eve, we would sit down and read a lot of the Christmas stories, and a lot of what I have read here and shared with you this morning are part of the Christmas story. And it causes us to think of who Jesus really came to be and what he did. I pray, and we're early this morning, so you ought to be able to get into some of these restaurants if that's where you're going. But I trust that Christmas may be a time of joy because you know Jesus and because you have the opportunity of sharing him with someone else. Father, we are so privileged to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And Father, you have called us to be your children. You have made us your children through the power of the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And this morning, as we prepare to close and adjourn and go our separate way, we ask that your Holy Spirit will open our spiritual eyes, and that we will see the opportunities you are putting out in front of us, that we might fulfill the purpose for which you have placed us here. Father, may we be able to tell others about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for them. Thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity to meet and look at your word this morning. Bring us back safely tonight as we look back again at the book of Revelation and see what you are teaching us through your prophet John. Thank you, Father, for letting us be here this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.